Today we are going to learn about Mishkanic eternity. Specifically, we're going to learn about the boards of the Mishkan, or that which was used to create the scrimmage, or the space, the hallowed sacred space, which was the traveling tabernacle that housed the presence of God. The fourth reading begins with chapter 26, the 15th verse, Ve'asisa es hakroshim. You shall make or fashion the boards. La Mishkan, for the Mishkan. What will you do? There will be atze shitim, they will be made of acacia wood, and there will be oimdim, they will be standing. Let's take a look in Rashi for starters. Ve'asisa es hakroshim. You will make or fashion these boards of wood. Says Rashi, the verse should have read, V'yasisa krashim. You'll make boards. Instead it says, V'yasisa es hakrashim. You will make the boards. The boards? But like this is like boards we talked about already? Why does it have a es hakrashim? There's a s, and then there's a hey. It's a very definitive article. You'll make the boards, make the walls. Why? What makes this definitive? And you'll say, well, that's what it says. It says, V'yasisa es ha'aron, es ha'menorah. So Rashi says, no, it doesn't say that actually. It says, V'yasisa aron. It doesn't say, V'yasisa ha'shulchan, it says, V'yasisa shulchan. It doesn't say, V'yasisa ha'menorah, it says, V'yasisa menorah zov. K'moysha ne'mar, b'chol dover v'dover, in the same way that it says it with regard to everything else. Mahu, what then is the meaning of hakrashim? The, there's this emphasis, as if we know about this already. We've heard this, we've seen this. It says Rashi, me'oysam ha'oimdim u'miyuchadim l'kach. We're speaking here about the material that's been designated for it. It's waiting in the wings, so to speak. This has been prepared. It's oimdim, it's standing ready. How could it be standing ready? There was no Mishkan. We just got a command for the Mishkan now. This is the commandment. So Rashi says, this has everything to do with the past Jewish history. Yankev Avinu, our father Jacob, he was able to prophetically foresee that the Jewish people would have to build a Mishkan, a traveling tabernacle, and that they would need these acacia wood. So Nota Arazim B'Mitzrayim, when our father Jacob arrived in the land of Egypt, he planted trees. Uchashemes, and when he passed, in his last will and testament, he included Tziva Levanov Laha'aloisam. He instructed his children to make sure that when you will leave, you take the wood with you. Take these trees. Kishayetsu Mimitzayim. Harvest these trees and take the lumber. Va'amar lahem. He said to them, Sha'asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Letzaviseisam. He didn't just make a commandment like out of the blue. He says, oh, you know, just take the wood. Don't ask what it's about. He said, no, you will need it. God is going to command you. You're going to have to build a tabernacle, some kind of structure that will house the presence of God. And you'll have to do it in the Midbar, and you'll have to use Atzei Shittim. So he says, since you're going to get a commandment like that, Re'u Sheyiyu Mizumanim B'yadchem. Make sure, when the command comes, you will be ready. You'll have the material. And that's what happened. Now, here Rashi tells us something very interesting. He leans on a liturgical poem, a prayer, which is actually recited in many communities, in many Ashkenazi communities, on the first day of Pesach. V'hu sheyiseid, this is the foundation of the liturgical prayer, it's called a yoitzer, that was written for the first day of Pesach. Rashi calls him Yisad HaBavli, the Babylonian. The Babylonian Rashi mentions actually this Python three times. He sometimes calls him HaBavli, Rabbeinu Shlema, sometimes he calls him HaBavli. He's better known, his full name is Rabbeinu Shlema HaKotan, Rabbi Yehudi HaBavli. He was a humble man, he considered himself a minor. Rabbi Solomon, the small one, the son of Yehuda, who came from Bavel. He actually lived in Italy. And this Italian sage was a profusive writer. He wrote many, many of the Piyutim. In fact, I think there are four or five of the prayers that we say in our Slichot prayers that were authored by the Bavli, by the Rabbeinu Shlema. So the Rabbeinu Shlema, known as the Bavli, writes in his Piyut, This is the only piyut which was said like during the year, during the not during Selichot. I think it's the only one that actually was acclaimed by all communities. Tos ma'at mizerazim, koyres batenu arazim. So he says we flowered and carried these cedars, which were prepared already, standing by ready, but those who were ready or those who were engaged or inspired, so they had prepared this already before. That's the mizerazim are the children of Yaakov. So tos mata mizerazim, they left with or they flowered with the wood or the lumber of those who had been inspired or moved, uplifted, and this became the walls of our home, which is a proverbial reference to the Mishkan that was built for the Jewish people. Shenizdarzu, that they were prepared, liyis muchanim biyodim mekaydim lachen. They were prepared that this should be ready for them before they would come into, they would leave the land of Mitzrayim. Now here's something very interesting. The krashim for the Mishkan, the words hakrashim la Mishkan, the boards for the Mishkan, have the numeric equivalent of the words Yainkev Avinu Nota Lahem Arazam Bimitzrayim. Father Jacob planted for them cedars in Egypt. Who figured this out? The Kli Yakar figured it out. And the Kli Yakar also figured out that the number, the numeric equivalent of the words Hakrashim LaMishkan is 1,095, which in Hebrew you write out Tuf is 400, so Tuf is 800, Resh is 200, Tuf Resh, and Tzadik Hei is 95. And he said, because Yaakov said, Bameh tisratze, with what will the Jewish people obtain pardon or obtain God's grace after making the ego? And the answer is, they'll obtain the grace with the Krashim. In other words, with the Mishkan. Now it says Krashim la Mishkan, boards for the Mishkan. What does it mean, la Mishkan? It should have said, V'yasisa Krashim Mishkan. The Krashim become the Mishkan. It's not for the Mishkan. So the Eir HaChaim says that the Mishkan proverbially refers to the covering. Like we read in Rashi yesterday, the Ohel is Michse Karolei. The covering is called Ohel. So the Mishkan is called the covering. And the question then is, how does the covering stay in place? What enables this sacred area or space to be? And the answer is the walls, because the walls were established, and then the coverings, the tapestries, were draped over them. And that, says the Eir HaChaim, is the meaning of V'yasisa HaKrashim La Mishkan. You make the Krashim for the Mishkan, meaning to serve that purpose. And then the Torah starts telling us about the details, that you have Eser Ames, Eirech HaKodesh HaEchad. Each one of these boards will be 10 amot long, and it will be v'chat amah v'chetzi, an amah and a half wide, ha'amah reicha v'keresh ha'echad, which gives us really an understanding of what the size of the Mishkan was. Now, atzei shitim oimdim, going back to Rashi in the first verse, Rashi gives us a French word, which means standing upright. And he says this means sheyeh eirech ha'krashim zokuf. He says that the length of the krashim would be placed upright, Lamaila bikiris haMishkan, zokof lamaila, placed upright in the way they grow, to form or to fashion the walls of the Mishkan. V'leisas haksolim b'krashim shoychvim, do not have the logs or boards lying one on top of the other, which is the easy way to do it. That's the way they used to build log cabins in this country, some 2 centuries ago, and the reason is because that's easy. It's very hard to put logs side by side. How do you keep them together? How do you make sure they don't collapse? But if you lay them one on top of the other, well, that's a no-brainer, as they say. But that's not the way the Mishkan could be made. The Mishkan had to have the boards standing upright, shoulder to shoulder, keresh al keresh. This was one board next to the other. And this has a lot to do with what we learned yesterday, that it has to be placed der gidulam, that when it comes to holiness, we don't lie them on the ground, we don't place them upside down. We, like the lulav, we hold upright, like the esrog hold upright. The boards have to be held upright. That's the way we make a house for Hashem. And of course, the cups, the menorah's cups, are the exception, and we talked about that yesterday. So let's talk about the Mishkanic eternity. Let's talk about these walls. And I will just share with you now a fascinating statement which is made by our rabbis, recorded in the Gemara, in the Talmud, on Masechet Sukkah, page 45, side B. And the learning will continue in the Biuri HaChumash. The page is Reishut Ches, so 218. And this is the 27th entry on Parshas Terumah. In the bold print, we have a quote from the Gemara. Shema toimar, lest you say, avad sivram uvatal sikuyon. Their utilitarian purposes are finished, are gone. Their usefulness has been outlived. The krashim are gone. Talmud leimar, the verse comes along and says, atze shitim, cedar, acacia wood, oimdim. Oimdim means standing. And standing, says the Gemara, euphemistically means sha'oimdim la'olam ula'olmei olamim, that it remains standing for eternity. Standing for eternity. So what does this mean? Uvdas nitzchiyusai shel ha'mishkan, the eternal nature of the Mishkan and its walls, Tizgala la'enei kol asid lavei, will be revealed in the future, a future that is hopefully very, very close by. Kedivrei ha-medrash, like the words of the medrash, this is found in the teachings that were preserved by the yeshiva of Eliyahu Hanavi, known as Tanit Veliyahu. Rabbeinu Bechaya has much to say about this. And the essential message of the Tanit Veliyahu of our sages is, Nitman ha-mishkan. The Mishkan was never destroyed. The Mishkan was put away for safekeeping. And after the Mishkan was carefully put away, you should know that it will serve a purpose again. And in the future to come, which is the terminology employed to describe the era of Mashiach, Yovei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God will come, the Yishre B'Seichai K'midah HaRishayna. God will once again dwell in the walls of the Mishkan. The Mishkan will come back. Its walls will rise again. It stands. It stands for eternity. The Mishkan is going to be put up and the Shechina will reside after the third Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt.
So we're going to have both the Beis HaMikdash and a Mishkan?
You're going to have a Beis HaMikdash and you're going to have a Mishkan. The Korbanot will be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Mishkan will be there. So this sounds pretty strange.
Yeah, sure.
What do I need a Mishkan for? I have a Beis HaMikdash, I have the third Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
What's going on?
He didn't do it for the first Beis HaMikdash, why do you do it for the third Beis
HaMikdash? He didn't do it for the second Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, well that's a...
But that's because maybe it would have been destroyed.
Yeah.
But what do we need it for? The Rebbe asked this very question. Number one, Harei la'asid lava yakum Beis HaMikdash ha'shlishi. That future era is going to see the rise of the third Beis HaMikdash. Shedargosi aruchnis, whose spiritual level gavoya la'ein areich midargas ha'mishkan, by far will eclipse the virtue and value of the Mishkan. It'll be much, much more spiritually superior. The level of Shechina that will reside in the third Beis HaMikdash will outpace the Mishkan, infinitely even, one could say. Shehare HaMishkan hu ma'aseh de adam. The Mishkan is the work of people, inspired people, unique people, special people, prophetic people, people. Still people. People who lived and whose bodies were laid to rest many years ago. But ilu beis hamikdash hashlishi ne'amar, with regard to the third beis hamikdash, it says, and we read this in our Az Yashir prayer, we just read it a few weeks ago, Migdash Hashem, the Migdash, the sanctuary of God, is koinenu yodecha. Your hands will fashion it. You, God, will form it. And this is what is written, that it's banui umishuchlal yigala v'yavi mishamayim, completed, finished to perfection. It'll arrive from heaven, as the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah on page 41 says, and as Rashi and Tosfos explain over there. So in that case, you're going to have a Mishkan, which people built. Who's going to look at it? Who needs it? We're going to have a Beis HaMikdash that God built. You want a God building or a person building? It's self-understood that a Mikdash that God builds is far greater. So, who needs the Shechina in the Mishkan? When you compare that to the amazing, incredible, and extraordinary level of divine presence, Sheyishra beBeis HaMikdash HaShlishi, that will be residing in the third Beis HaMikdash. Question two is, so Madua Tiyah HaShras HaShchina LaAsad Lavei Dafka BeMishkan, why will the Shechina be specifically in the Mishkan? Why not say the first Beis HaMikdash will come back? I mean, if you want to bring back the past, you want to get nostalgic. The Mishkan lasted for a few decades. First Beis HaMikdash for centuries. Second Beis HaMikdash even longer. If God has some kind of nostalgia for what was, why the Mishkan? Why not the earlier temples, Bate Mikdash? So nobody really ever explained this. It's one of these Midrashim, you know. Is literal, not literal, we don't know. Nobody gave it any kind of meaning. But the Rebbe did. In 1980, the Rebbe delivers this groundbreaking talk on the Mishkan and its eternity. And the Rebbe suggested that the explanation lies in a statement that a rabbi has made, which is recorded in the Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia on page 38. And there the Gemara says, and I quote, Odom Reitze Bekav Shaloi, a person prefers their own portion, Mitisha Kabim Shachavere, than getting 10 portions from somebody else. This is human nature. If we did it, if we made it, it's ours. If it's ours, we value it. You worked for it, you got it, you value it. It's human nature. Kleimar, in other words, Dovar Shehusig Beemtzois Omo V'Yegia, something that comes your way by virtue of toil and effort expended because you worked for it, that's something you value. This is Goydim La'odam Oineg Godol Harbe Yesa. This causes a much greater sense of satisfaction and pleasure, a much greater sense of fulfillment. Midavar Shanitnul Matana. It's something that's given to you for free. If you get it for free, you never really appreciate it. If you worked for it, you value it. Gamim Erech HaMatana Kishalatzma, even if the gift, if you look at valuations in and of themselves, is Godol Yesa Me'erke Shaladavar Shehusig Ba'amal, is much more valuable than the thing that you got through your toil and effort. But when you got it through your toil and your effort, you value it more. It's not about the objective value, it's about how valuable it is to me. This is what we call in English something of sentimental value. And sentimental value because it has a history, because it was used for something special. Sentimental value can be, it's valuable to me. It's not valuable to you. I put the work into it. I made the effort. It's valuable to me. Ubinyanenu, and relating this to our subject at hand, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to be a phenomenal Beis HaMikdash, hands down, no question about it. This is the Mikdash HaNaila V'HaMushlam B'Yesa. This is the greatest kind of locale housing the presence of God. After all, it's coming from heaven. It's God made. And because it appears from heaven as a gift, as it says, Yigola V'Yavi Mishamayim, be revealed and arriving from heaven, Ha'inig Shehu Yigarem L'Bnei Yisrael Lo Yihi Mushlam. It'll give us satisfaction, but not complete satisfaction. We will delight in the third Beis HaMikdash, but something will be missing. Namely, we didn't work for it. We didn't really build this. God built it. Lachain, therefore, Yishra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eshchinasa Gam B'Mishkan. God will dwell in the Mishkan too. Because the Mishkan represents the hard work, the efforts of the nation, of the people. Nivna b'kechiseyim u'be'emtzayiseyim shokol b'nei Yisrael. This was built through the effort, through the value, through the toil and the incredible amount of commitment invested by the Jewish people. People did this. Kadesh b'nei Yisrael yisku gam l'shleim. So why would God do this? Because God wants us to be happy. It's like you want your children to be happy. So you want your children to be happy. You want to give them things as gifts, but you also want them sometimes to work for it. Because when the child will work for it, you'll feel better. And the child maybe is kvetching and not happy to work for it, but you as a parent know that's what's best for the child. And this will give him the greatest sense of satisfaction. And he'll come back and thank you later. V'zui asibu l'kach. This is the reason. Shadafka ha-mishkan hu yizgala. This answers now our second question. Why not the first Beis HaMikdash? It was also made by people. Second Beis HaMikdash was made by people. The answer is which people? Who built the first Beis HaMikdash? Artisans, craftspeople, It was a royal project. It was not Al Yedei Am Yisrael Kule, not built by all of the Jewish people. Who built the Mishkan? All the people. Who contributed? Everybody. Everybody was involved. And precisely because the Mishkan was built through Nidvei Sehem, V'Koichoi Sehem, through the generosity and the efforts of Kol Yisrael, that's why it will represent the perfection insofar as not only value, objectively speaking, but the value that's felt, the perceived value, the sentimental value of the effort that we made as well. That's the story of the Mishkan. Hashem should help us that the Mishkan should rise again along with the third Beis HaMikdash, Bimheira, Obi Yameinu, Amen.